This FabFM podcast is proudly brought to you by Bendigo Bank, Port Douglas and Mosman, offering a full range of competitive banking products and technology you'd expect from a big bank with the personal service and care you'd expect from us. Drop into your nearest branch at Port Village Shopping Centre or Front Street Mosman. Bendigo Bank, the better big bank.
Hex lies an audio tape. A bunch of tinfoil hat greenies trying to put a hex on the proposed hydrogen power grid in the Daintree and failing. Lies and more lies being told about how the Daintree rainforest will be affected by this clean green power project. An audio tape from FabFM in the shape of a podcast with the man who's the project manager, and he tells us the truth about what's really going to happen. There are so many lies being told by heritage hacks. Any greenie worth their salt would want to eliminate the diesel generators out of this beautiful rainforest, but not this mob. They have another plan that involves getting rid of everyone out of the DRF. How dare those resorts, how dare those residents get clean green power? Besides, that will make land acquisition so much harder. Vault Advisory Group Project Manager Richard Schoenemann sat down with me to talk about this project and the BS that's flying around at the moment.
A lot of unnecessary BS, unfortunately. We've been very, very clear about this, and you know, there's enough governance and enough approvals in process to make sure and in place to make sure that we don't do something that would take down trees in the rainforest. There's no intention. That's certainly not what the project's about, and you've got to wonder what the intention is of people who actually do go out and defame the project and make up, you know, misleading comments about taking out vast clearances of rainforest.
They're lies. They're not just misinformation. You put it very kindly there, but it's outright lies.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I think, you know, we will have to go through an approvals process. We've begun that already. It's very black and white. It's engineering. We put in the diagrams where things are going. It's very accurate. And certainly, as we've stated on numerous occasions, the permit that we would be looking for is to go under the roads and between the table drains and the roads where it's already cleared, no trees down. One of the other issues was, oh, I don't know, the investment case doesn't work. There's too much money and there's only 30 people who are interested in this. Well, that's clearly not true. Our proponent, our sponsor, has got an EOI from over 300 people. We're not concerned about the loads that we've got to serve here. We genuinely believe they're there because our product is better than burning diesel. I think probably the other thing that's worth mentioning is that there's a lot of people, we have a socialised energy system, and there's a lot of people who live at the end of long feeders and long lines, and they might be farmers and whatever, and we don't say to them, hey, you're not paying your reflective cost of those assets, because if we did that and they were farmers, we wouldn't have any food. But you know, as an example, there's plenty of people, in fact many of the detractors who, you know, that we've heard, ironically they don't bat an eyelid about being at the end of a long stringy line from which they benefit, and they pay very little of the cost of actually delivering the power. The wonderful thing, you know, obviously it's a challenging environment to work in. The wonderful thing is there is a need, and once you've demonstrated this, there's so much opportunity elsewhere where people have electrification issues. And the good thing is, you know, it's a no-brainer in terms of avoiding diesel. The current cost there, you know, the federal government's putting out probably $1 million a year in diesel fuel rebates. I mean, if that doesn't contribute to the business case, what does?
These tinfoil hat greenies, I call them, they're going against their own code. They're going against their own green book that says we need sustainable energy. This is completely against what your normal greenie would do.
It's sad in that respect, absolutely, because, you know, I think the environment there, most people are horrified when they hear what diesel goes through there. There's not a person in my company who doesn't believe in making the world a better place by making it cleaner in that respect. So I really think, you know, it's unfortunate that at the moment we're not allied, but hopefully down the track they'll see the actual facts and understand them for what they are.
I hope so. But, you know, we know the motive. I know the motive. You don't have to say it. The motive is to buy up as much land in the Daintree at the least possible price so they can send it back to the Stone Age. That's basically what it is. And that is totally ridiculous. The people in the Daintree deserve power.
Yeah, look, I think they've been promised it many, many times. And, you know, if there's a whole equity argument that says that they should receive something. And in fact, that, you know, they've got power at the moment. It's dirty power. They pay a fortune for it, and it costs them, you know, a mint. We can do better as a society. And I think That's what this project is about.
I have done a previous podcast where you outlined the whole thing. I don't want you to run through the whole thing again. It'll take so long. But just summing it up where we are at the moment with the power grid.
Absolutely. So coming to the close of the design phase, many people are saying, oh, no, not another study. This is actually a design phase. So we're actually doing proper in-depth, unlike previous studies, proper in-depth costings, proper in-depth designs for approvals, and so that we can actually go and seek finance. Because as I've said before at the other meeting, you can't build a house without a plan, and you can't get finance to build a house without a plan. So it's no different here.
Just explain to people, those people who may be listening to this podcast and say, oh, what is hydrogen, power grid, solar? Just explain in the simple terms, and I know you can, you're very good at that. Explain in simple terms how it works.
Okay, so two parts of the electrical supply system that we're talking about. One is reticulating, so that's delivering the power to people's doors, and we'll be doing that under the roads and easements with cables. But in terms of the generation, what we'll be doing is finding, and we have a number of them, eligible sites, cleared sites for solar, and we'll need storage, so that will be a mix of batteries and hydrogen. And the hydrogen will be made from the solar through a process called electrolysis. It will be brought back into the grid through either a fuel cell technology or a generator, absolutely entirely created by the solar energy through electrolysis and brought back into electrical energy through either the fuel cell or the generator.
And this will be done on land that is not being cleared. Let's make that completely clear. It's not being cleared. It's already clear. And you've got some sites that you're looking at already.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a number of sites in the Daintree where, you know, there's been farming there for many, many, many years. They're cleared, and they're not wet tropics sites. They're not national park sites. They're freehold property. At the moment, they farm, you know, perhaps cattle or fruit trees in some places, but then they have large clearances. They're eligible sites and could work really well to produce solar power so that we don't need to burn diesel.
And there is one section, I think, 300 metres or something, where it will go underground, so there'll be no clearance of anything.
Yeah, so that's actually, in terms of the options, you know, we'll be generally following the road line for the whole 120 kilometres under the roads. There's one area where we'd actually like to avoid the range. There's a number of reasons we'd like to avoid the range. You know, it has had history of slips and things like that. So what we could do is drill under the range. That's an option. What we think is a preferable option is to actually use an old forestry track, which is controlled by council, and we'd like to directionally drill from a cleared freehold site to another cleared freehold site. And we would, by doing that, mitigate any damage to the vegetation by staying far under that. About 20 feet under the ground is the suggestion from the, you know, obviously the topography varies, so the engineers have basically designed it to be about that, and that avoids all of the issues associated with damaging any of the structures and the roots and waterways and things like that.
Finally, Richard, all of these lies, the BS that's floating around at the moment, I mean, you know, there's always people who believe stuff if it's said often enough. And I think this is what this crowd are trying to do. If you say it often enough, people will believe it.
You know, in terms of our involvement, what we think is just you chip away at this and you keep designing and building and you get your permits and you follow the process, the rational process, emotions aside. Obviously, we're expecting to receive some of the feedback from people who don't want it, and they make up all sorts of stories about it. The reality is what's going to go into the plan, because that's what people are going to be paying for in terms of the investors. I think, you know, in terms of equity, you know, most people in Australia who are grid connected, they get a reliable level of supply, and they get it for a price that they know about. With, you know, owning your own diesel system, you never know when it's going to break down and what's going to happen. And we're not trying to do anything different here. We're saying that because of equity, people should pay something akin to the uniform tariff. They shouldn't worry about the infrastructure. That's not their problem. That's the problem of someone who has to look after that infrastructure. You know, that means that they get safe, reliable power, and it's green power. It's coming from 100% renewable sources. It's not affecting the environment because it's going under the roads. And they just get a standard price as a service like anyone else.
If people don't get that through their heads, Richard, nothing will work.
Yeah, look, I think we've got a compelling proposition there for people. They're going to have a safe, reliable and affordable and above all else in this area where it is, the World Heritage Rainforest, cleaner, greener system, and they're going to pay for it in a cooey of what everyone else pays for it in the uniform tariff policy that we work in.
Lovely to talk the truth with you today, Richard.
Thanks, Paul. It's always great to have a chat. Appreciate it.